change your mind like a girl changes clothes. Cause you're hot.
Thank you. Gosh, if I knew you felt that way, I'd do this more often. And so, well, hey guys, I hope you're having a great weekend. I don't know about you, but one of the things for me that helps me have the best weekend possible is actually to spend part of it with God. Amen? And that's what we get to do as a church family, crazy big extended church family across a bunch of campuses around Chicagoland, is we get to gather together to hang with each other, but also to hang with God and to be able to take some time with Him, to let Him know how much He loves us, and to also be able to receive from Him. And I hope that we can do that today. Well, I had an experience that was sort of weird a while back. And I was asked to come by a friend of mine who pastors in Austin, Texas, to come and lead a gathering of pastors in Austin, Texas. And I said, sure. And those of you who know me know I am not very detail-oriented. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody out there else kind of a big picture person, not so detailed? Yeah, there's a handful of us out there, right? Well, I'm not too detail-oriented, so I made an assumption, and the assumption was that the gathering would be in Austin because he invited me to come. And so I flew into Austin, and I grabbed my rental car, and I popped up the GPS on my phone, and I realized that this gathering of pastors was not 15 minutes away, as I imagined, but 3.5 hours away in a town I didn't even know existed in West Texas. And I'm like, wow, I've got to hurry. And so I get in, I know, right? Great decision, right? I'm sure a lot of law enforcement officers will email me on the backside of that. So yes, I was hurrying a little bit. So about an hour and a half into this 3.5 hour trek, I lost track of all civilization. You ever had a moment like that? Where there's just nothing that tells you that people are here. And so this was all cotton and cattle, right? And so I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and about another hour into it, I had another experience. My GPS dropped out. What looked like that then looked like this. And so all of the road system disappeared, everything was gone, and I'm like, wow, this is not good, right? Because I still have like an hour to go. And so I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And here's the deal. In this part of Texas, there were no road signs on any road at all, even the bigger ones. Clearly, the lack of visitors, I'm guessing, did not warrant the expense, right, for signs. And so as I'm in this, I'm thinking, what do I do? Do I call my friend? And I'm like, well, I don't even know where I am. And so I couldn't say even come get me or tell me how to get from there to here. I don't even have the slightest idea where I'm at. And then I'm also thinking I'm in the middle of West Texas and I'm probably the only unarmed person for 100 square miles, right? And I'm thinking like driving up to somebody's house and knocking on the door may not end well for me. And so I'm thinking, I don't know that I want to do that. And so I'm sitting here and there's a question that came across my mind. And here's what it was. What is true? Like, what do I know right now that is real, that I can count on, that is true? What do I know that is going to get me out of this mess that is true? And the only thing that I had that I knew that was true were these two dots. That dot is me, and that's where I'm going. And so I came up with an idea. I'm just going to take whatever road I want, and I'm just going to try to keep getting this dot closer to that dot. And so I did. Now, you'll be amazed to find that that actually worked. And so I would zip down a road, and I'm like, I'm a little bit to the right, so I'm going to go left. So I went left. I'm like, probably too far. I'm going to go right. And I'd go left and right and left and right, kind of back around. And eventually, these two dots got pretty close together. And I was able to figure out where I was. Now, if that doesn't prove the existence of God, I don't know what does, but that was my experience. You know, I would tell you what's interesting in that for me was that experience of being lost. And I don't mean just like kind of turned around or not quite sure exactly how to get there, but like no idea where you are and no idea how in the world you're going to get somewhere else. I'll be honest, that was a bit scary. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. And I think it was probably confusing and frustrating in that moment. And I share that because it's possible not to just get lost in Texas. It's possible to also get lost in life. Can we agree? There's times, and I know sometimes when I talk to you about this, they feel shame over that. I don't think you should. Can I just tell you, if you felt a bit lost in your life, I don't think you should feel any shame at all. In fact, I think for most of us, there are periods of our life that we head into that we're like, man, I'm not sure how I got here, where I am, or exactly where I ought to go. You know, for a lot of us, man, we had plans, right? We knew what we were gonna do. If you talk to the 18-year-old version of us, we knew the job we were gonna have, we knew the company we were gonna work for, we knew the girl we were gonna marry, we knew the house we wanted, we knew where we were gonna live, and 3.2 kids later, we were gonna be radically happy, right? And somewhere along the way, life didn't cooperate. And we didn't have the life we imagined, and we feel lost. For others of us, there were people in our life that anchored us, people we imagined would always be there, that loved us and cared for us, and maybe through death or divorce or conflict or just moving away, those people aren't there. And there's a sense where we feel kind of lost and alone. Or there was a moment in our life where we knew who we were and we had confidence. And we said, man, I know exactly what my purpose is and I know who I am and my identity. And we find ourselves in a place in life where all of a sudden we're asking questions and we're not sure anymore who we are. We know it's not only possible to be lost in life, it's also possible to take a wrong turn. It doesn't have to be totally lost. But it's possible to have counted on a set of things that we all of a sudden realize weren't true. Did you ever have that experience? You know, I can tell you, for a lot of us, we looked at the world and we said, man, that's what I want. The best way to be successful in my life, the best way to be happy in my life, the best way for me to have the life I've always wanted, man, do what the world says. Earn a pile of cash, right? As big a pile as I can. Be able to seek pleasure in every way possible and post it all on social media so everybody knows about it, right? And at that point, man, I have the life and I'm living large. But somewhere along the way, for those of us who took that path, we woke up one morning and we said, man, I'm not sure I'm where I thought I would be. I'm not sure that feels as good on the inside as I imagined it would 3 years ago. 5 years ago. I'm not sure where I'm going. I'm not sure I like me. I'm not sure that I feel confident that I'm actually going to have the life I want. And in those moments when we feel like that, in those moments when life throws us a curve or when maybe we made a little bit of a wrong turn, there's a question that comes to the very center of our life. What's true? What's real? Like, what can I actually count on? Like, if I'm going to move from here to here, if I'm going to change course in my life, if I want something different, how do I know I'm on the right path? How can I even figure out something like that? Because it seems really big, right? We'd be happy to know. Jesus actually had a lot to say about that. That was a topic that he addressed quite a bit. And he would have people gather around him, and they would hear him speak. And they'd be moved by him. And all of a sudden, the way they were seeing the world shifted. And like, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought that was the way to go. And you're kind of pointing me here. What do I do with that? And that's something that he has been actually spurring in our hearts for thousands of years for anybody who would read his words or who would come after him. One of the most famous of those passages, or at least well-known, maybe I should say it, takes place in the Gospel of John in chapter 8. And this is talking about Jesus. John is talking about Jesus, and this is what he says. He says, even as he spoke, many believed in him. And to the Jewish people who had gathered around, who had believed in him, Jesus said this, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Meaning, if you're gonna follow me, you wanna know how to do that? It's like, do what I'm telling you to do. Follow what I'm saying. And then he says this, and this is the part that many of you may have heard before. It says, then you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus is making an enormous claim here. He's basically saying, listen, I'm kind of the missing puzzle piece to all this. To the extent that you buy into me, to the extent that you believe what I'm telling you and start to live out of that, you're gonna experience something different. You're gonna experience the power of truth in your life. And then he says this, it'll actually set you free. It'll set you free. The implication is this, that we're not free. And for sure we don't feel free. And he said, there's a freedom that you can have that will blow your mind. And the key to it is truth. And he is there to give it to us. The Apostle Paul, a few years later, writing to a church in Rome, said these words, kind of the same thing, but put a little bit more meat on the bone. This is in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Speaking to the folks there in the Roman church, he said, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Like, don't do that anymore. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Same general idea that Jesus is talking about. But Paul kind of makes it a little clearer. He says, hey, you may not know this, but the world in which we live in, the fallen world, a world that doesn't always acknowledge God, there's a pattern of life that kind of describes it. And he's not talking about the physical world, the oceans and the mountains, as much as he's talking about the culture of the world. And he said, the culture of the world wants to make every single one of us in its own image. It wants to take all of us made in the image of God and press it really tight. You ever seen like a plastic press where they make toys, or a steel press where they make parts, and they'll take the molten metal or the molten plastic and they push it super hard together and change its shape to be exactly the same. And that's the idea here. He said, you know, the world is structured in a way. It is structured to make you look like it, to remove as much of the image of God from you as possible and to replace it with its own image, to imprint you with its values and priorities and ways of life. The world wants to completely have you be conformed to it. And Paul says, don't do that. He says, but instead of doing that, do something else. He says, be transformed. And that's a powerful word. In the original Greek, it's the word metamorphosis, which you know if you ever took a biology class, right? That is when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. It is a complete transformation. And he's saying, rather, be completely transformed by the renewing of your mind, making your mind new again, making your mind like it was when God made it, returning your mind to the original factory setting. And wow, that's a provocative idea, isn't it? You see, I think it's true for every one of us, and I'm gonna say it's absolutely true for me. It's very hard to live in the world, and particularly the world we live in the U.S., and not be imprinted by it, right? Every time I open up my iPad, every time I'm on my phone, every time I'm in a store, every time I'm everywhere, the values around me are imprinting on me. How I should do life, what decisions I should make, what should be important to me. Like, even to the point of, I don't know how you feel, but the level of tolerance in our nation has gone to almost zero. And whether you're in this camp or that camp or what camp, there's a powerful force trying to make you into something. I feel it. And it's honestly pretty easy to give into. But Paul says, what if we didn't? What if we actually made a courageous decision? And here's what's crazy. Paul's actually kind of making the claim that living out of the truth, particularly the truth the way God describes it, is a revolutionary act. It's not as simple as we'd imagine. It's actually a revolutionary act that will renew your mind, transform your life, and according to Jesus, set you free. That's a pretty revolutionary decision. Well, how do you do that, right? That sounds like a big deal. How in the world do we get out of the pattern and mold that the world is trying to squeeze us into and into a transformation of being set free by God to be who we were supposed to be? Well, the wisest man ever, according to the Bible, has some words to say on that. That's Solomon. And in the Old Testament, he wrote the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 3, this is what he says on that topic. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he'll direct your path." What does he mean by that? Well, he starts off by giving some pretty novel advice. He's like, you know all those thoughts in your head, all those instincts kind of in your gut? Yeah, ignore those. Don't go with those. He's basically saying, don't go with you. Like, everything that you're kind of contemplating doing, don't do that. That's pretty radical advice, don't you think? There's not a whole lot of self-help people that go there because that feels a little bit strange, but he goes right there. He says, instead of going with you, and I don't think it's just you, but all of us, go with God. He's basically saying this, what would happen if you took the opportunity to substitute God's judgment for your own? What would life look like if we just assumed God knew what he was doing and we just said, I'm going with you? Whether it seemed right or not, whether we liked it or not, whether others felt it was good or not. We just said, God, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to actually trust you that you know what you're doing. And what's cool about that is he says in here, we should trust him with all of our heart and submit to him all of our ways. That speaks to a difference in how people, particularly in his day, understood what it meant to believe something. If I asked you, do you believe that? The way you would hear that in our culture would be all about how I think about that. Do I think that's true? Do I not think that's true? That's what I believe. That would not have been true then. It would not have been a question about what do you think, but how do you live? Because people back in Solomon's day, and in Jesus' day too, would have said they would have known what you believe by how you live, because you live out what you believe. And so what he's basically saying is this, if we can substitute God's judgment for our own and just kind of live out of that, not perfectly, right? Because he certainly didn't either. But just imperfectly try to live out of that. He says that God will then direct our path. God will start to lead our life. That's a pretty powerful idea, isn't it? I don't know about you, but the notion that I could have God as the leader of my life, the supreme being of the universe, right? The creator of all things, the smartest dude ever, be responsible for the outcome of my life, that I could hand off the outcome, where my responsibility would be figuring out how to follow him, and his responsibility would be how it all turns out. That's a good deal. Like, sign me up for that. I would like that. Frankly, when I look at the level of stress in my life, and I look at when I'm feeling like really tight and stressed, I don't know if you ever feel that way. I do. There's times when I look at our family finances, or when I look at, you know, aspects of church, or when I look at different things that I'm involved in or something in my kid's life and I feel this enormous stress, 90-some percent of the time, I am trying to control the outcome of something I really have no control over. That may not be true for you. That is absolutely true for me. And when I can understand that I don't have to live that way, that I can actually hand that to God and say, my job is to figure out how to say yes to you in all things. Your job is to figure out how to make this work. I like that deal. And I'm like, wow, that brings peace to my heart. That can bring joy even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And honestly, it can bring freedom that I have never known emotionally and relationally. You see, the notion is that God has taken a lot of time to say a lot of things in a book. And we have the opportunity to kind of page through it and hear from him. And if we can take a posture of faith, the way the Bible talks about it, to say, you know what, God, when I read this, I believe you are who you say you are. I trust the way you're describing yourself is actually who you are. And I can count on you for that, that you are loving and good and strong and kind. And that you're gonna actually do what you say you're gonna do. Like, there's hundreds of promises in this book that God's gonna deliver on. And I'm gonna believe you're gonna do it. And so I'm gonna orient my life believing you're showing up, versus trying to hedge a fact if maybe you aren't. And what if I just live like you actually are who you say you are, and you're going to do exactly what you say you're going to do? And what even more so if I'm actually who you say I am? That the world doesn't get to define me anymore. My circumstances don't get to define me anymore. My failures don't get to define me anymore. My fears don't get to define me anymore. But I'm going to actually believe that I'm who you say that I am. And that I have a calling on my life. And I can do the things you say I can do. And what if we lived that way? Believing that God is who he says he is, he's going to do what he said he's going to do, that I am who he says I am. And I can do the things that he says I can do. You see, in that moment when we live out of that, an alignment happens. When we say yes to God, imperfectly for sure, where his presence can live fully and he can transform us just the way Paul talked about. And it will feel like freedom because we're in bondage we don't even know we're in. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible for us, you and me, that there's a level of constriction and bondage that is occurring in our life that we're just even unaware of because that's just the water we're swimming in? It's just how we know life to be, and we don't know it any other way. And when God comes in, there's a freedom that will feel really new. I think there is. We had an interesting experience at the Chapman household this week. Came home late one evening and went upstairs to get ready to go to bed, and I flicked on the light switch and nothing happened. I'm like, what in the world? And I realized all the electricity was out in our bedroom and the upper level of our house. And I'm like, what in the world? So I go downstairs, and sure enough, there's a breaker that was popped. So I popped it back, and immediately it popped back out. So I popped it back again, and it popped out. And I did this 4 or 5 times, frankly, because it was fun, right? Made a very loud noise, kind of self-gratifying a little bit, like bang, bang. My wife was not nearly as enthusiastic about this little exercise as I was. So I came upstairs thinking there's a short somewhere, and so I unplugged everything, right, from the wall. I went back down. Breaker still wouldn't go in. I'm like, yeah. So we had an electrician friend from our church come over the next day, and as he's walking around, he realizes it's not the breaker, but he doesn't know what it is. And so we're searching all over, what in the world can it be? And he then did something I didn't. He looked under our bed, because I'm kind of afraid to ever do that, right, because I'm never sure exactly what I'm going to find. So he looked under our bed. And sure enough, there was a power strip, nothing plugged into it, that was plugged into an outlet that I didn't even know existed in the wall by someone who will remain nameless, who I sleep beside every single night, right? And so in that, what had happened, there was a short in the power strip, and it blew out the entire bedroom, bathroom, everything upstairs. And I share that with you for this reason. Sometimes it's really hard to imagine or believe, right? That something really small that seems insignificant to us can have a really big effect, positively or negatively. Do you believe that? But it can. And see, the reality of living out of the truth of God can be a positive change. It can have massive implications. But also, there's a tendency right now, there's a popular way of doing Christianity right now in our country that actually can short-circuit this. And it's the notion of kind of opening up this book, reading through it, and kind of deciding what parts you're going to buy into and what parts you're not. And as I kind of page through it, I'm like, oh, I like that. I'm going to buy into that. I circle that, and I get a little colored highlighter. And I go, oh, that's a life verse for me. Oh, I don't like this next part. That's kind of judgy, you know? That's kind of negative. I'm not into that. So I'll leave that out. And eventually, I have a checkerboard pattern through this book of where I actually sit in judgment on God versus God sitting in judgment on me. And I decide what God should or shouldn't do and what he should or shouldn't say or shouldn't think. And all of a sudden, I have a God of my own making and a Christianity of my own hand that I have built that doesn't resemble the one that is fully in this book. And we have a short circuit, and I don't experience the freedom, and I don't experience life transformation, and I don't experience some of these things, at least in the same ways. And so I think, what? Well, that doesn't work. Here's what I want to encourage us. And I know this is kind of tough and maybe even a little countercultural. the way this works is to take it all. To take it all and to say, all of this is God's word. And I'm going to believe it and I'm going to live out of it, whether I like it or not, whether it seems right to me in that time or not, or no matter what other people say or not. But I'm going to start living out of something where I can trust that God has spoken and that it can actually change me. And when we do, a powerful thing begins to happen. When we have a posture of yes towards God, again, imperfect, totally imperfect. There's not been a person other than Jesus that has walked this earth that has ever gone at this in a perfect way. But an orientation of yes towards God, to the best we know it, right? God begins to live in that, and we begin to experience him in a powerfully different way. Frankly, in a revolutionary way. You know, you saw a video a little bit earlier in our service of Night to Shine. Now, yes, isn't that awesome? Yes, it is. It is one of my very favorite events that we do. It's our third one. And for those of you who don't know what it is, maybe you walked in a little bit after that video was shown. It is a night where we take the opportunity to honor folks with disabilities. Where we take the opportunity, yes, that's right, it's a great thing to do. Some of our Night to Shiners right there, very excited about that. And part of what we do in that is to take the opportunity to truly honor people who maybe haven't always been honored in the world the way they should. And so we'll have a time where we throw a huge party, and there'll be limousines that will take them onto a red carpet, and we'll take their pictures, and there'll be balloons and dancing, and we'll have great food, and it's fun, and right, there's all kinds of things that happen. But there's a moment in that that gets me every time. There's the high water mark of the evening. And it's a time where every single one of those guests gets a crown. And it's really meaningful because what that crown symbolizes isn't just your kind of king or queen for a night, but there's an identity that has been given to you by God that the world has forgotten that we want to remind you of. That you are kings and queens of heaven. You are the sons and daughters of God. There are literally, we're told, uncountable numbers of angels across the entire created universe that already believe that about you and about them and who are here and who serve. And we take that opportunity to remind these folks that's actually who you are. It's the most true thing. And after we did that, it was very moving for me. I just kind of walked around talking to people. And there was a gentleman who I didn't know, and he had a crown on, and he was coming up to me and had a walker. And so I just went up and said hi, and he couldn't really speak very clearly. And so he pointed to me, and so I asked him, what can I do for you? Could I help him with something? And he grabbed my hand, and he looked me right in the eyes, and he kissed my hand. I wasn't really ready for that. And that kind of messed me up. I know a lot of you think like every morning my kids get up and like kiss my hand in the morning. All that kind of not really. That doesn't really happen around Chapman household. But like I've never been in a moment like that. And I looked at this man and I realized this was the most powerful way he knew how to say thank you. And I mean, it just broke me. It just broke me. I didn't have words for that. I didn't know. I probably didn't even have a good enough response for him, to be honest, because I just was so choked up about it. And as I was standing in that moment, I really sensed God just kind of whispering in my soul two things. The first was this. What's happening right now is really right. Like, this is me. What's happening in this space, this is exactly how I see these people. That's exactly my sons and daughters. That's exactly what happens in the heart of somebody that says yes to me. This is exactly what is happening, and you're watching it happen. And here's the other thing. That man standing in front of you is not the only person in this 20-foot space that needs to know who they are to me. And I realized God was using this gentleman to tell me that too. That was really powerful for me to take a step back. Because it's very easy, those of you who know me, it's very easy for me to serve. It's very easy for me to give. It is not always easy for me to receive. And I just took a moment and I said yes to God, even though it was uncomfortable for me. And I stood there and just let God do that for me. Can I just share? I don't think there's a person here or anywhere across our campuses that doesn't need to know how God thinks about them. The world has tried to define you. Define you by whether you've won or lost by its standards, by how much or how little you have, by what rung in the social ladder that you are, to whether you've done good things or bad things, or whether you're beautiful or not by its standards. See, the world creates winners and losers all over the place, and very few people win. And I'll tell you a secret. The minute that you think you're one of those people, you realize another standard gets set. And another, and another, and another. I have met very few people who play by the world's rules and who don't go through their entire life wanting more, feeling they need to be more, have more, do more in order to win, because the finish line keeps getting moved. Can I just tell you, you are the sons and daughters of God. That's actually who you are. You don't have to succeed that much more to be accepted by God. You're as accepted as you're gonna get. You don't have to be any more beautiful or handsome or smart or capable than you are now, because God already loves you, because he made you you. He's not looking for that to change. Can I tell you, You don't need to win at anything else to be precious to God, loved by him, or to frankly have the full boat of the life that he wants to give you than what you already have. Because you are treasured by God. And here's the cool part. The world does not get to define you. Circumstances don't get to do that either. Do you know why? Because at the end of all things, there's only one voice that will define every human being that has ever lived. And it's the voice of your Father in heaven. On that day, when you stand in his presence, you will be his child. And there really won't be anything else that matters. You will have a robe thrown over you. You'll have a crown placed on your head. And you will be known as part of the royal family of the universe, fully accepted, fully loved, fully cared for. Because that's the most real thing about you. Let me ask you a question. What would happen if we decided we were gonna live out of that identity right now? That we weren't gonna wait on that moment. That we were gonna actually believe that that's true. And we're gonna live like that's true. And we begin to live out of that notion of who we are. What would happen to our insecurities in that moment? Our fears, the anxiety that we have, the pressure we feel? What if we decided to take that identity and live out our marriages in the way God tells us to, that we're gonna radically love our spouse the way God does? What would happen to the level of conflict in our marriages? Self-centeredness produces massive conflict amongst people. Other-centeredness reduces it. What if we parented out of that? And we just said, you know what, I'm just gonna do what God says, and I'm just gonna try to love my kids the best I can. I'm gonna try to set an example. I'm just gonna take a shot. Like, I'm gonna live out of this. What would happen if we said, you know what, I am no longer going to obsess over the outcome of my life, but I'm just gonna follow God and make my yes, yes. And I'm gonna hand it to him and I'm gonna watch what happens. How would what happens inside of us and the churn that we live with on a daily basis, the fear, the depression, the sadness, the all of the emotions that we carry in that moment. I don't know, but if I were to guess, that truth that we start to live out would be like a key that would unlock a transformation, and our mind would be renewed, and we would say, if we had to put one word on how it feels, that it feels free. Free. And that's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, if we can follow him, the truth will set us free. I want that for me, and I want that for you. I want us to live like the free people of heaven we were made to be. There are no slaves in heaven. Heaven is a free place with a free God and a free people. And God made you in an amazing way to do amazing things because you're like him, because he made you like him, because you're his kid. And that's the whole reason Jesus came, to restore your identity and to welcome you back into the family. But making that shift is going to take effort. If we're going to shift from kind of having the world define us and define our way of life to having the kingdom do that, we're going to have to invest a bit. And let me tell you what I mean by that. And I want to invite you guys to do something. I don't think it's too hard. But whether it's every morning or every evening or maybe at lunch or whatever, grab this book. You can do it anywhere. You can pick any part you want. But if you've never done it before, I might go into the New Testament and start there. And just read one paragraph, not more than one, just a paragraph. It'll take you 30 seconds. Stop and pray about it. And say, God, show me something. And specifically have four categories that you're looking for. And they're what we've been talking about. God, tell me something about you that's in this. Tell me something about what you want to do or promise you're going to do. Tell me some about me. Who am I? And fourth, tell me what you're calling me to do. That paragraph might talk about any one of those four. Doesn't matter. I have a little spiral round notebook that I keep beside my Bible, and I will write down a list under each of those four questions. Who does God say he is, right? What does God say that he's going to promise to do in our life? Who does God say we are? And what does God call us to do? And I'll just put the little numbers, which are the passage there, and I'll just write the idea the way God hit it in my life. And as those lists grow over, you know, a couple weeks or a couple months, you'll start to have a pattern. And you'll start to say, gosh, this is who God says he is. I can actually believe that. This is what God actually tells me he's going to promise to do in my life. I'm going to start living like that's true. Instead of hedging my life, wondering if God's going to come through or not, I'm just believing he is. I'm going to actually do that. I don't have to be defined by failure, defined by the world, or defined by anybody other than God. And I can actually start living out of who he actually says that I am today. And I can live a life of a calling and a purpose and a meaning that he's assigning to me. And I can figure out how to do that. And so here's the cool part. You don't need to be a theologian or a Bible scholar. Just open the Bible up. Get a spiral notebook and a pencil. And just start letting God show you who he is and what he wants to do in your life and who you are and what he's calling you into. And over time, the shift will happen. You will stop being as molded and imprinted by the world, and you'll start being transformed by the kingdom through the power of this book, which is God's word for you. Here's my prayer. As you do that, you may get to a place of where there's some fear involved in that, or there's some risk involved in that. And it could feel a lot like those two dots I talked about earlier, right? You're like, man, here I am, and this is where God is saying I can be. How does that happen? I have no idea. What you're actually asking for is a map. You're not gonna get one. Just start moving with God. Go straight, go left, go right, whatever you think God's asking you to do. If you make a mistake, you know what you do? Turn around. And you take your best shot at saying yes to God. And over time, you'll eventually start to see these two things get closer together. And you'll start to experience God. And that experience of God will set you free. That's the power of the kingdom at work in us. It's the power of the presence of God. It's the power of truth. And it's why asking the question, tell me what is real, is one of the most important things we can do. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us like you do, never giving up on us, hanging in with us. God, even when we're lost, even when we get it wrong, even when we think that we know more than we do, and God, even maybe when we've judged you, you didn't give up on us, God. And we just want to say thank you. We love you from the bottom of our heart. We trust you. And Lord, we want to walk in your truth and live out of the identity and the purpose that you give us in your word. We lay all this before you, and with great joy, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.